Non. Non. We mentioned last week that Pinchas' great gift was he knew the exact moments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anger in the world. And as the Gemara in Brachos says, that he knew there was a Nidan Rischa, there was a time of anger, and he was able to tap into it. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, in order that he should not be able to curse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Yidin Rizka. The anger was cancelled that day. Remember the Arizal says in last week's Parsha, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu, which is normally translated, the anger of God was angry because Bilam went. The Arizal translates, the anger was angry, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu, because it had to go away. Hashem took it away. So Gedalia Shor is Masbir, that what is the purpose of there being a moment of anger in the world in which Hashem has fury? He says that koach unleashes in the world a yiras ha'onesh. The reason why human beings have an instinctive fear that if they do something wrong, something's going to happen to them, is that is the feeling they get from that moment of anger. That moment of anger creates the madrega of yiras hadin, yiras ha'onesh. So look at Bilam's great brilliance. If Bilam sees he's not able to curse because there is no anger this day, so he knows the Jewish people no longer have yiras ha'onesh, fear of punishment. If they no longer have fear of punishment, Bilam has a plan B. If I can't curse them, let me be machshel them in an aveira. In a normal day, they wouldn't give in to these aveiras because of yiras ha'onesh. But precisely today that they don't have yiras ha'onesh, they could do these averus, which in turn, of course, would bring back the divine wrath. So Bilam was machshel them. The Eitz of Bilam was to be machshel them with the daughters of Moab, and which was a combination of promiscuity, relations, sexual relations with the daughters of Moab, which in turn enticed them to the idol that was known as Baal Peor. And there was a great magefa that up to 24,000 people were dying, and it would have continued. Baal Peor was an exceptionally disgusting type of worship. They would actually worship by defecation. And really, what it does is it represents the ultimate idea that there's nothing that matters other than base physicality. In other words, there's nothing, there's no higher spiritual goal in life. And what happened was, as a result, people were dying left and right. And in particular, there was the head of the tribe of Shimon, who was fornicating with a Midianite princess, and he was doing it publicly. And the halacha is that if a non-Jew, Jewish woman, is cohabiting with a non-Jew, with a Jewish man in a public way, only in a public way, so b'shas maisa mamish, only during the actual maisa bia, if basin is not going to kill them, and if they finish the act, you're not allowed to kill them. But there's a din of kanayim paigim by a zealous person is allowed to take the law into his own hands and kill. And it was Pinchas that killed Zimri, who is the Nasi of Shimon, and Cosby, Basur, the Midianite a princess. And because of this, the Magefa stopped after 24,000 people. Because of it, it stopped. And Pinchas is then given by God what is called Brisi Shalom, a covenant of peace, a covenant of Shalom. So first of all, what is the concept of the covenant of Shalom? So Rashi explains the covenant of Shalom actually means Pinchas was given the status of a Kohen. A Kohen is a person who makes peace between God and Bnei Yisrael, and therefore the Bris Shalom says Pinchas is a Kohen. So Rashi brings the obvious question, what does Pinchas need a special reason to become a Kohen? Pinchas is a Kohen because he's a Kohen. Why do I say he became a Kohen because of this particular Maisa? So Rashi brings from Chazal that the emissary is Pinchas was not a Kohen, because the way it worked was the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Aaron was not born a Kohen, right? Aaron was not born a Kohen. But Aaron became a Kohen because Aaron and his four children were Nimshach. They were anointed with the Shemen HaMishra. That made them Kohanim. Aaron's oldest two children, Nadav and Avihu, died and was survived by Elazar and Isamar, right? And Memela, from that point on, anyone that is born from these Kohanim will be a Kohen. You don't have to be anointed, you're born from a Kohen. But the problem was, Pinchas was the oldest child of Elazar, and Pinchas was born before Elazar was anointed. So Pinchas was not born a Kohen, nor was he anointed to be a Kohen, because he, right, any child that would be born to Elazar after Elazar's anointment would be born a Kohen. But Pinchas was not born a Kohen because he was born before Elazar was anointed, and yet Pinchas was not anointed, so he would not have been a Kohen. What made him a Kohen? What made him a Kohen was his Mesiras Nefesh in standing up for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Rashi says. Now, the question you may ask is, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, anoint Pinchas? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu leave a residual child who was not a Kohen till he did a special Maisa? So they say, Fakert, had Pinchas been a Kohen when he killed Zimri, he might not have been kosher to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, because the halacha is, a Kohen Shaharag Es HaNefesh, a Kohen who kills, even if he did it b'shogeg, and perhaps, this is machlokas, but according to this interpretation, even if he did it as a mitzvah, such a Kohen is disqualified from doing the Aveda, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Kohanim are criticized, Yedeichem Damim Milei, when your hands are filled with blood, you cannot do Birchas Kohanim, and who are doing other Aveda. So Memela, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who knew the future, and knew that Pinchas would be the Kanoi, he bedafka left Pinchas to be not a Kohen, so that Pinchas could become a Kohen later, because the din, that if a Kohen murders, he's disqualified, is only if he murders when he's a Kohen, which is normally going to be the case. Pinchas murdered when he wasn't a Kohen. Therefore, Pinchas did not become disqualified. Yeah.
So, was it a combination of the fact that he was Pinchas and the act that he did that made him a Kohen, or... If anybody in Israel did the act, would they also do Kohen?
No, that's a very good point. You still have to be a descendant of Aaron. So if a non-descendant of Aaron were to do this Aveda, he would not become a Kohen. But Pinchas now became elevated to a Kohen because of this. That's how some learn Brisi Shalom. So the covenant of peace essentially means Pinchas has now become a Kohen. Now that's where he was priestly Shalom. Yeah.
Is this the only instance in history where this act actually took place, where someone killed the?
You know, we don't have exact numbers, but it seems not to be the only instance. But again, it's a very rare instance. Number one, if you ask the Shaila, we don't give you a psak to do it. And number two, it is only b'shas maisa. Now, b'shas maisa means they're actually having relations, not that they go into a bedroom. They're actually having relations. You have to see it. And number three, it has to be public. Now that's going to be a relatively rare, although today such priests there, everything is public, but it would be comparatively rare to meet all of those conditions, yeah.
Do we learn this mitzvah out of the story of Pinchas, or?
The Gemara calls it a halacha l'moshe misinai, so it's not in the written Torah, but it was halacha l'moshe misinai. Pinchas illustrates, but Pinchas is not the derivative of it. Halacha l'moshe misinai. Yeah. Well, this is the rule. This idea that a Kohen, this is where we get into a shaila. The din that a Kohen is disqualified if he kills somebody would even be, according to many opinions, and this is the shot we're following here, even if the killing was totally permissible, proper, and even a mitzvah. Now, let me give you an analogy to this. Remember David HaMelech, it's a different situation, but the same type of concept. David HaMelech was told by Nasan the Navi, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Nasan the Navi told David HaMelech that although Hashem loves you and you're a righteous king, you are not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because you are a man of blood, a man of battle, a man of war, and it is only your son Shlomo who will not have these wars who will build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's the identical problem, because you might say, what do you mean David's a man of war? Every war David waged was a war that either Hashem commanded him, or a war for Eretz Yisrael, or a war against enemies. David HaMelech did not kill anybody without justice, except Uriah HaChiti, but that was later. That was with Bathsheba. That didn't happen yet. So I'm not really answering it, but I'm just showing you by analogy that even a justifiable bloodshed for the Beis HaMikdash is not proper. And so the same rule that we apply to David and the Beis HaMikdash, we also apply to Kohanim. That's why. But again, this is not so pushy. Meaning, let's say, for example, if you had a Kohen who was in the Israeli army, and let's say he was not religious at the time, but he was mainly, I mean, he killed some Arabs or whatever, terrorists. He killed a terrorist, right? The great, great mitzvah. The terrorist was about to blow people up, and he kills the terrorist. There is indeed a shaila. I mean, as harsh as it sounds, there are poskim that say such a kohen is not allowed to duchen anymore, even though he did a great, great mitzvah. Now that's a machlokas. I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, but there are teachers say that even a justifiable ritzicha apostles are coming. Yeah, it is a machlokas. Okay, so if this comes up, be sure to ask a shayla. So that's one interpretation of brisi shalom. Others go a little further because again, you understand the question. The question that's being raised is: if Pinchas was already a kohen, what is this extra covenant that God is giving him? Others say that there is an extra covenant, and that is Kohanim Gedolim are supposed to come from the descendants of Pinchas. Meaning Pinchas was a Kohen, but the extra Bris Shalom is that the Kohuna Gedola goes through Pinchas. But the MS is that was not permanent. Let me explain a little bit. That was temporary, but then it got back again. And that is, if you take the Kohanim Gedolim, you only know this from Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles. So after Aaron died, Elazar became the Kohen Gadol. After Elazar died, Pinchas did become the Kohen Gadol. Now Pinchas, according to our Masorah, never really died. He became Eliyahu HaNavi, but he did leave the earth, both as Pinchas and later as Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Kohanim Gedolim did go through Pinchas, but this takes you all the way till Eli. Now remember, Eli was the Kohen Gadol in the time of Shmuel, and Eli's sons were not righteous. and Eli's sons were killed by the Plishtim when the Aron HaKodesh was taken, and Eli also died of shock. At that point, the Kohen Gadol switched from the descendants of Elazar Pinchas over to Isamar, and it did remain for the Zera of Isamar rather than the Zera of Pinchas. Isamar was the other son of Aaron, and it remained there for a long time. But Chazal do say Limosa Mashiach, it will return. And in fact, even in David HaMelech's reign, it did return, because that is when David replaced Eviyasor with Sadok. Eviyasor is Mizera Isamar, Sadok is Mizera Pinchas, and then it will continue, right? So it did go back and forth at various times, but that is the Haftacha. Now, the Kesav Sefer says a very important idea. Notice that it talks about the Yichus of Pinchas. It says, Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, HaKohen. He removed my anger from Bnei Yisrael by being zealous for me, and therefore give him a covenant of peace, a bris shalom. Now, there is a general rule, and Rashi does this every time, that normally the Torah doesn't mention grandparents. The Torah mentions, you know, you're the son of somebody. So whenever we mention a grandparent, there's always going to be a reason. With Korach, we mentioned that, etc. So Rashi says the following idea. The Shvatim, when Pinchas killed, now Pinchas killed a very important person. Pinchas killed the Nasi of the tribe of Shimon. A big shot. Cosby herself was not just a regular Midianite woman, she was aristocracy. So the Shvatim were making fun of Pinchas. Who does this guy think he is? Because Pinchas's father was Elazar, but Pinchas's mother was also a daughter of Yisro. See, it's interesting. Moshe married a daughter of Yisro. Elazar married a daughter of Yisro. Right, so Elazar married, you know, Elazar is the next generation. And therefore, Pinchas' own grandfather, right, Pinchas' own grandfather, Yisro, at one point in his life, was an Oved Avodah Zarah. So this guy, whose own grandfather was an Oved Avodah Zarah, he gives himself the right to exact justice because people are worshipping Avodah Zarah. What about his own family? Because Avi Imai, the father of his mother. So that's why the Torah says, now again, it doesn't really answer the question. Don't look at Pinchas' maternal grandfather. Look at the paternal grandfather, which is Aaron. Right, don't look at this one, look at this one. But the Kesav Sefer says, what type of terrorist is that? Yeah, he has a paternal grandfather, he also has a maternal grandfather. I mean, if they're dining, that what gives him the right to do this if his yichus comes from Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you're not really answering it by saying he also has that yichus, but he also has this yichus. So the Kesav Sefer says a very, very beautiful thought, very important thought. He said, what is their taina? What is their taina? Oh, his grandfather was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so he can't be a Kanai. Why not? Yisro did Shuvah. Pinchas himself was never an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so he's doing what he has to do. I mean, what is this argument? You can't do it because you come from someone that's not an Oved Avodah Zarah. So the Kesav Sefer says the Taina is a deeper Taina. That the only person who's allowed to engage in this behavior is a Kanoi. A Kanoi is somebody who is jealous for the glory of Hashem. He is doing it for Kavod Shemayim. He's not doing it because of a personal agenda. He's not doing it because of his hatred. He's not doing it to build up his reputation. He's not doing it to be popular. He's doing it for Hashem. Their taina is, we don't think he's sincere. We think that he's so ashamed of his past that he wants to show he's a super zealot, as if to say, don't taint me with my past. Meaning, their argument is not stamazai, he comes from a disreputable past. Their taina is, his kavana is not l'shem shamayim, he's doing it for kavod as if to overcompensate. Right? Like they say when J. Edgar Hoover, well, okay, maybe it's not important, but when he was very, very, he was pursuing homosexuals in a very extreme way, you know, kind of considering them the worst thing in society, which, you know, okay, in economy, but it turned out that, generally speaking, the more he was yelling and screaming about it, Taka was Niskala that he was, he himself had that. Chazal say this, actually. What do Chazal say? Kol ha-paisel b'mumo hu-paisel. When you go around posseling people, oh, you have this problem, this problem, this problem, it's a good raya, or at least a possibility, that that's the very chisaron you have. So they're tining, Pinchas is not acting l'shem Hashem. Pinchas is acting because he wants to clear his reputation coming from an Oved Avodah Zarah. So the Torah is meyed, he's a Ben Aaron. What is the Torah meyed? The Torah is meyed, Pinchas didn't want to do this. Pinchas, see the way we translate, instead of saying Pinchas is the son of Elazar, who is the son of Aaron, we say two things. Pinchas is biologically the son of Elazar, and spiritually, he is the son of Aaron. What was Aaron's characteristic? Aaron's characteristic was Ohev Shalom, a lover of peace, Rodev Shalom. Pinchas was not a hothead. Pinchas did not act out of anger. He did not act out of gaiva. He did not act out of kavod. Pinchas acted not even to punish Zimri. Pinchas acted out of love for Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, his act of violence was an act of love and hatzalah for Am Yisrael. He acted as a Ben Aaron. That's a very important idea. His motivation was not hatred of the evildoer. His motivation was Avas Hashem and Avas Yisrael, and to bring Am Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kesav Sefer says that a Kanoi has to be Mechavein totally for the Kavod of Hashem and for his love of Bnei Yisrael to protect them from sin. If he is acting out of his own ego or even out of hatred for the one that he's destroying, it becomes an action of Ritzicha. And that explains the Mida Keneged Mida. Because if Pinchas was acting out of hatred and violence, he wouldn't have gotten a bris of shalom. He could get the bris of shalom only because his ultimate motivation was also the motivation of shalom. It's a very, very important idea. The Kanoi has to act out of shalom and not out of machlokas. And that's why the Torah's made it that he is a Ben Aaron. So it doesn't mean Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aaron, but rather Pinchas, the son of Elazar, who is also the son of Aaron. Pinchas has two fathers, so to speak, his physical father and his spiritual father, to be Ayev Shalom of Ereidev Shalom. You know, there's a vort from Rav Kook, a very, very beautiful vort. Remember, we call the Amida, we call it Shmona Esrei, 18 blessings. Now the emes is, there are 19 blessings. So the Gemara in Brachos explains that initially the Anshei Knesset HaGdola did 18 blessings. And then in the time of Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, this is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So there were Minim, there were heretics. Some say there were early Christians that were trying to influence Jews. There were heretics, informers, missionaries. And Rabban Gamliel said, ay, 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 who can write a bracha against these heretics, against these missionaries, against these apostates? We have to ask Hashem for help. Who could write such a bracha? So they finally commissioned a Tana called Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel the Humble, not the Navi Shmuel, Shmuel HaKatan. And Shmuel HaKatan wrote what is called Birchas Aminim, the bracha against the heretics, and that is the bracha L'malshinim al tihi tikva, that the informers and the Rishoyim, they should have no hope. And this is the 19th blessing. It's not the 19th place, but it's the 19th blessing that was added to Shmon Esrei. By the way, just as a little bit of tefillah knowledge, it's very interesting. There is a fascinating machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli understands this maisa that first there were 18, and the Malshinim made it 19. The Yerushalmi says there were always 18. And how does that work? There were always 18. Originally, you had 18 before the Malshinim. But the number 18 was very significant. It's high and everything else. So after they added Rav Malshinim, according to the Yerushalmi, they combined two brachas. They combined the Yerushalayim Ircha, which ends Bonei Yerushalayim, with Es Samach David, which is asking for Mashiach. So we have it as two brachas, but the Shita of Yerushalmi was, there was one bracha that says Bracha to Hashem, Elokei David Ubonei Yerushalayim. So according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, you had 18 before Vlam Malshinim, but after Vlam Malshinim, they combined with Yerushalayim and Es Samach David, so instead of two, you only have one, so with Vlam Malshinim, you keep 18. This is the Shita of the Yerushalmi, that they were Kolel, Binyan Yerushalayim, and Semichas David, Mashiach, in one bracha. This is why you will find a very, very interesting thing that you wouldn't notice. I mean, we don't say it, so you would never notice this. There is, but it's in most Siddurim, even the Art School Siddur. There is a piyut for Purim that some kehilos added in the Amida, meaning in Chazaras Hashatz, it's like Yotzros. Before the end of each bracha, the chazan would say a few lines, like a piyut, a yotzer. And it goes through all of the brachas of the Amida, but it skips the Yerushalayim. There's no Hosafa. I'm sorry, it skips Es Samach David. There's no Hosafa for Es Samach David. And it's a little odd. Why are you missing all Hosafa? But some want to say that this piyut was written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. And Rabbi Elazar HaKalir lived, some say he was a Tana. Taisus of Chagiga says he was a Tana who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And in his Nusach HaTfilah, he followed the Yerushalmi, there was no separate bracha Es Samach David, so the Yerushalayim is kol olvot. It's a very, very interesting raya, because otherwise it's such a conspicuous thing that you're missing. Look at the Art School Siddur. It's called Krovatz Lepurim. You know, you'll see, it's a short hosafa for every bracha. I mean, we don't say it, but it's in the Siddur. And you'll notice it just skips that, just skips any addition to that bracha. Okay. But be it as it may, we follow the Bavli generally, and the Bavli says there were 18 and now there are 19. Okay. So the question that's asked is, what is Rabban Gamliel's hardship? He says, who can write a bracha on the Minim? And what is he looking for? And I mean, whoever wrote the earlier brachas will write this bracha. It's not the object that's not done anymore, but what is so unusually difficult? And why was Shmuel HaKatan picked for this particular task? So Rav Kook says very beautifully, Rav Kook says that Vlamal Shinim is very unique in all of the brachas of Shmon Esrei, because every single bracha asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something good. Give us Geula, give us Yeshua, give us Parnasa, give us Refuah, ingather the exiles. The only bracha that asks Hashem to punish, to curse, to destroy, is the bracha of Lamalshinim. It is the only bracha that is 100% in the negative. So here is the thing. When you come to Hashem and you ask Hashem to punish, to curse, to destroy, your kavana cannot be to hurt people. Your kavana has to be for the benefit of Am Yisrael, to bring bracha so that we'll become closer to God. When you're motivated by hate or anger, even towards unworthy people, that is a pagam in your tefillah. Your tefillah has to be for kiddush shem shamayim and for avas Yisrael, not out of hatred and a desire to destroy. So when Rav Gamliel says, who could possibly write Birchas Aminim? He's saying, ay, 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 we're surrounded by Romans and Rishoyim and the Christians that try to be Mesas and Mediach. Who could help not hating? Who could bring to their tefillah a pure heart that is motivated out of love and not out of hate, out of reconciliation, not out of anger, of someone who prays that Rishoyim should do tshuva instead of having to die? Who is capable of that? It's like, who could make a prayer against Hitler? Yimach Shemo. Who would not feel hatred? So, it was very hard to find somebody. But they found Shmuel HaKatan. What's so notable about Shmuel HaKatan? Well, Shmuel HaKatan, we know very little about. The Gemara gives us a story about his great humility, tremendous anaf, that one time when they would have secret meetings for Kiddush HaChodesh or to add a leap year, only certain people were allowed, and once there were more than the allowed number, and Rav Gamliel said whoever was not invited should leave, and Shmuel HaKatan, who was invited, left, not to embarrass the other person. Well, we know that's why he's called Katan, the humble one. We know another time a bas kol came from heaven, and a bas kol said, there is one person in this generation who is ra'uy that the Shekhinah should be on him like it was on Moshe Rabbeinu, but the generation is not deserving of such greatness. Like a puzzle. Hashem said, there's one person. Didn't say whom. And everybody in the room looked at Shmuel HaKatan, that he was the one. But in particular, in Pirkei Avos, Shmuel HaKatan is quoted as saying something. Shmuel HaKatan, hu haya omer. And the strange thing is, what he is quoted as saying isn't even his. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's a pasuk. He didn't invent it. But apparently it was his motto. And the pasuk says, binfol oyevecha, when your enemy falls, al tismach, do not be happy when your enemy falls. In other words, don't take joy in somebody else's misfortune. So Rabbi Gamliel says he is the right person to write Birchas Aminim, because he doesn't take joy in the destruction of people. He's just doing it l'shem shemayim, for Kiddush Hashem. Right? So it's Shmuel HaKatan's his attitude, this is Rav Kook, b'nefalo yevach al tismach, that made him the mechaber of l'mal shirim al tihisifra. Right? Really tremendous, tremendous words. Because when a person is consumed by hate, there's going to be a pagam. And I don't want to get into the psychology of it so much, but it's generally going to be true that if you spend your energies focusing on the chesronos of others to be a kanoi in that way, it makes you negative, it makes you cynical, and then even when you go back into Avodas Hashem, there's going to be a certain pagam there, because you're machnis the negativity into your heart, and therefore one does not focus that much. In fact, they tell a story, it's Chassidus Rebbe, that there was a great Chassidus Rebbe, the Apta Rav. He was the Rav of Apto. Apto was a city in Poland. And he was called the Oev Yisrael, because his sefer is called Oev Yisrael, and he basically said, every parsha in the Torah has a remez to Avas Yisrael. Every parsha. So somebody asked him, this is really last week's parsha, Where in Balak does it talk about Avos Yisrael? Now, the kash is not such a big kash. I think there are plenty of things. Matovu, Alecha Yaakov. I mean, but all right. On Chassidus Shavartlich, you don't ask kashas. So somebody says, where in Parshas Balak is there a remez to Avos Yisrael? So he says, the word Balak, right? Beis, Lamed, Kuf. Beis, V'ahavta, Lamed, L'reyecha, Kuf. Ka mocha. Balak. Somebody said, what does the Rebbe mean? Vase is not vav. Via hafta starts with a vav, not a vase. Via hafta, alright. Lureyacha starts with a lamed. Ka mocha starts with a chaf, not a kuf. Two out of the three letters are wrong. How could Balak spell via hafta, lureyacha, ka mocha? So the after Rebbe said, that's your problem. When you have Avos Yisrael, you don't look so closely to things. You don't try to be medayak. Avos Yisrael means you accept people. You don't look for this is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong. He says that's also a raya for Avos Yisrael. Okay. Now one thing, one halachic matter I want to show through, which is very, very interesting, and that is in the pasuk when Hashem promises Pinchas, Hineni Naisei Lai, behold, I am giving to him brisi shalom, a covenant of peace. covenant of peace. So the word shalom, the vav in the word shalom is a cut vav. Now that's a machlokus exactly how that's done in the Sefer Torah. Some say it's like two halves of the vav with a break in the middle. And some say it's only short vav. It's like a small vav, like a longer yud, but it's not a complete vav. This is called a vav katia. A vav katia means a broken vav. And this is part of Hilchos Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has to be written with a vav katia, although the Rambam's mashma, it doesn't possibly be the Yevid, but this was a halacha l'moshe Misinai, vav katia, right? If you look in the Chumash, there'll be a note, vav katia. So the emesis, the Gemara in Kedushin, has a very, very interesting halacha derived from the vav katia, and it says the following. Those of you that will get to the, hopefully, well, actually some of you may have seen, but those of you that will get to the second parak of Makos might remember this Gemara. The Gemara has a very interesting discussion. If a Kohen does Avaida, and after the Kohen does Avaida, it is discovered that his mother was a divorced woman. In other words, it's discovered he was a Ben Grusha. A Ben Grusha cannot do Avaida. Ben Grusha is called a Chalo. Now, if a non-Kohen does the Avaida is puzzle. But what happened if, when he did it, we assumed he was a Kohen, and then we discovered he was a Ben Grusha? Do I say, oh, I see he's not a Kohen anymore? I'm saying that I see that he was never a Kohen, rather, so the whole Avaida is puzzle. Or do I say, no, it's only Mikan Olaba, but retroactively, whatever he did is going to be good. So that's a machlokas. A machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. According to one man, the Yomar, every single korban he ever brought from the beginning of his Avaida is absolutely puzzle, because a Ben Grusha was not a Kohen. The other says that b'di'evit it is kosher. Now, there's a machlokas Rishonim. Does that mean it's only b'di'evit kosher if we didn't know he was a Ben Grusha when he did it? That's the pashtus of the Gemara. Or does it even mean, even if we knew, but if once he did it b'di'evit, it's going to be kosher? That's a machlokas within the Rishonim, how to learn the shita that it's kosher. Is it kosher because it's low naida, or even if it's naida, b'di'evit? The Rambam shita is, even if it was known, b'di'evit, a chalal does it well. Now, how do you know the avaida is kosher? So the Gemara darshins from Pinchas. V'hayisa lo ulazaro achrav. To him and to his children, there is kahuna. Now, l'chayra, why do you have to say to his children? Once he's a Kohen, his kids are going to be a Kohen. What is the chiddush of Zaro? So the Gemara answers, the chiddush is that even if the Zara is puzzle, because it's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, if they're descended from Pinchas, the Avaida is going to be good. Now, l'chayra, it's a little schwer, because you don't have to be descended from Pinchas. This halakha would also apply to other Kohanim. But because of Pinchas, this leniency went into the effect. Haisalo l'zaro, bein zera kasher, bein zera puzzle. So now the question is this. The question is, the Gemara asks, what would I say by a baal mum? A baal mum, a person with a mum, was not allowed to do the avaida. But once I say, whether you're kasher or puzzle, be the avid, if you do the avaida, it's good. What if a Kohen did Avaida not knowing he had a certain blemish? Let's say a certain wound to his body. He didn't notice that. It's hard to imagine. Those that he didn't know, or we didn't know. By a Baal Mum, we paskin that even b'di'evit, the Avaida is puzzle. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, my shna chalo ben Grusha, where b'di'evit, the Avaida is kosher, my shna Baal Mum, where b'di'evit, the avaida is puzzle. Why is there a difference? The Gemara in Kedushin asks the Kasha. The Gemara's answer is, this is the significance of a vav katia. When you have a split vav, it's like you take out the vav and read the word without a vav. Now, shalom without a vav would be read shalem, complete, meaning, when do I give you the promise that whether it's kosher or puzzle, the Avaida is good? Only when it's shalem, only when you're not a Baal Mum, only when your body is complete, and not when you're a Baal Mum. So from the din of Vav Katia, we actually learn out that a balmum that does the avodah is pasul even with the eved, and I don't compare it to chalal. Chalal just simply means a ben gerusha. I might have thought the same principle of ben gerusha should apply to a balmum. The drasha vav katia tells me that it does not. Okay, this is so it's interesting that this is one of the comparatively few cases. Most of the examples of big letters, small letters, unusual letters are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but it's very, very rare that we have a reason and a halacha that we derive from them. This is actually one of the few cases where we actually know the halacha of what this Vav Ketiyah teaches us. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good night.